with pilots for 9/11.
Well, his name was, this one was Captain Phil McConnell.
Okay.
But he was, you know, he was talking.
Yeah.
He sounded knowledgeable that, you know, you couldn't have done that.
But you know what? We're saturated with those things. We are. We have been doing nothing but presenting evidence, and nothing is happening. You know, there are, you know, there should be a way there where we can, as people, bring this into a court of law and have all these.
Well, that's what Mr. Hawkins is doing.
Experts. Have all these experts come into court and testify. No, we need something more. We need something where we are suing the President of the United States himself. We need something where we are suing and bringing criminal actions on people like Rumsfeld, on people like Silverstein, on people. You know, the only way you're going to have you're going to have the truth come out is if it's in court. And then we start bringing all these pilots and all these experts to see if actually the plane could have hit the Pentagon, which, of course, I don't believe it did. But, you know, when you talk like that, you are doing nothing but creating more and more and more. You're stirring the pot, but nothing is happening. And we've saturated that that phase. We need to move on. We need another phase. We've got to get out there in the streets and do something. You know, this talking to each other is not working anymore.
Well, I want to say to everyone that Bush can only become a dictator if we let him.
Well,
he might have delusions of grandeur.
Sherry, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. He is a dictator. He's
if he tries to declare martial law.
Listen to me, Sherry. On May 9th of this year.
Yeah, I know. I'm familiar with that.
You're familiar with that? Then you made a statement that doesn't make any sense. You said only he will become a dictator if we let him. No, he's doing it. He's doing it, and he's telling you he's doing it.
What?
And your representative in Congress, they did not do anything about it. He is a dictator just waiting for one single event. One single incident. Why write up a law like that, a directive, a presidential directive like that, when nothing happened, unless you know, or unless you knew ahead of time that something will happen where you will execute this directive?
I agree there, but like I said, it happened.
He became a dictator. He became a dictator.
Well, he's a dictator in his own mind, but he can't implement it if we don't let him. And right now, there's still too many people armed in this country.
Listen, Sherry, let me ask you this. You keep saying if we don't let him. I don't know who you're talking about when you say we. You must have a mouse in your pocket. Because he is already, you know, we let him.
Well, but it still has to be implemented on the local level.
Well, that's all it has to do.
You know,
and if federalized, you know, if a bomb goes off in a federal building today, he can't. You know what? And it doesn't have to be a terrorist attack. In that directive, it says economy. You know, if something happened to Wall Street, economic disaster, he can be. Environment, a natural disaster such as Katrina. Then he will exercise that directive. Then he will become the only voice for judicial, executive, and legislation.
Well, but people still have to let him do that. And I think there's enough of us out here, you know.
Where?
There's some of us that aren't going to put up with it.
Where's enough of you out there? Where? What are you talking about? We don't have enough of us. We have millions of us sleeping and don't care. They are drinking beer in parks and they are partying and they are their brains are full of drugs. If it's not the illegal stuff, it's the legal stuff. And as long as I'm sitting on my couch watching my TV, that's all I want.
Well,
while the country goes down the drain. Thank you, Sherry.
Okay.
For the call, and ladies and gentlemen, we will be back with the rest of the callers. Stay with us.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, Clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Matson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well thought out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
To current issues. I'm your host, Hisham Tilawi. Welcome to the second hour, ladies and gentlemen. And again, we apologize for all the callers who have been waiting online for a long time. And we welcome you, other callers, to call. The number, we're going to be going to the callers, but let me give out the number, 800-313-9443. Let's go to Canada with Ramsey. Go ahead, Ramsey.
How are you?
Hi, Ramsey. I'm fine. Thank you.
So I just want to ask you something. What do you think of the new appointed member of the World Bank by Bush, Robert Zulek?
Well, you know, I mean, what do I think of him? Why can't we find somebody else besides a Jewish guy to run the world money affairs? I don't know what to think about him. Tell me about him, Ramsey. What do you know about him?
Well, he's a member of the PNAC group. He's Bilderberg group, CFR group. He's one of the advisors of Enron. He's a little bit on the same level as Wolfowitz. You know?
Okay. So he's a neocon.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Which proves, Ramsey, that it was not George Bush who appointed him. It is those people who are handling George Bush, who basically told George Bush that this is the guy we want you to have on top of the world of money. It's their money. You know, it's at least that's how they feel. They feel that all money in the world is their money, so they want their own people to be on top of it. I mean, why do we blame them for wanting to have a Zionist Jew on hitting the World Bank if they can do it? What, you know, they have George Bush to basically, you know, they will give him the name and they will say, okay, this is the guy we want you to have. You know, like you said, he is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's a member of the Bilderberger Group. These are the people who are controlling the world, Ramsey.
Yeah. And so regarding the 9/11 movement, I think one of the main problems is that you have people like Chomsky, who misled a lot of people on the movement. Because you know, we had Chomsky on your show, Current Issues, and he said that the official government story is correct and all that nonsense.
He has no reason to not to believe the government story. You know, Chomsky is a Zionist. He told us that a long time ago, and he still says that, oh yeah, he's a Zionist, but he does not like Israel killing the Palestinians. Big deal. You know, and you're right, we had him on the TV show, and, you know, somebody like Chomsky can have an effect on a lot of people, but he did not. He chose to deceive people because people respect him, they respect his opinion, but he chose to deceive people when he said that he has no reason not to believe the government story that two planes hit the World Center and the World Trade Center, and these two buildings fell. That's, you know, the government story, so why not? Yeah, I agree with you. People like Chomsky, people like, and I'm sure you can name other people who are in the movement, that are basically deceiving the movement.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a sad thing, and none of these people will even mention that Israel has anything to do with 9/11. They will not. And if you're not willing to talk about the truth and tell the truth, why are you in the truth movement? Why do you call yourself in the truth movement? If you want to tell the whole truth, regardless of what the truth, you know, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, why be in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
go ahead.
Go ahead, sir.
No, I mean, it's just I agree with you that it's very sad. And now, what do you think of this latest thing in Lebanon, Ramsey?
You mean what happened in the camp?
Yeah.
Well, sir, I think something is cooking there, you know, and again, like.
But did you read what Seymour Hersh had wrote about the issue there?
No, I haven't read what he wrote. But
where this particular group was actually created by the Mossad and by the CIA with the help of the Saudis, especially Prince Bandar, and it was financed and channeled the financing through some Lebanese there, especially Al-Hariri.
Yeah. Seymour Hersh said that?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I know who he is, but I haven't read his article.
Okay.
Definitely agree that the Mossad is involved in this. And also the Mossad is doing a lot of business and a lot of dirty business in Gaza too.
That is true.
And the West Bank and everybody. And the purpose of what's happening in Lebanon just to divide them as much as possible, right?
Well, I mean, the original idea was to create a force to oppose Hezbollah, especially after Hezbollah defeated Israel in Lebanon. So they wanted to create a force, and as they have created the fighting between Sunnis and Shiites in Iraq, they have practically made some of these people's enemies. Now, they're bringing them, as you know, Hezbollah is Shiite, so they wanted a Sunni force to be there to basically start violence, just like in Iraq. And then finally, they decided this is not going to work the way they planned it, and they cut off funds. Hariri cut off funds from this group, and that's what we have. You know, they went and robbed a bank, Mediterranean Bank in Tripoli, Lebanon, which belongs to al-Hariri family. And that's when this whole thing started, and, you know, they escaped to the camp, and the army followed them there. Ramzi, I appreciate your call, sir.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, we welcome your phone calls. The number is 800-313-9443. I know we had Bob, but I understand Bob from Colorado is not on the line anymore. But, is he back? Is Bob back? No. Okay. I guess if he's back, he would have spoken by now. But anyhow, okay, Bob, you're welcome to call, and we welcome all your phone calls. The number again is 800-313-9443. And even if you want to talk about Lebanese food, we will talk about it. That's not a problem at all. I can teach you how to make falafel and hummus and everything else you need. I'll tell you what, I'm reading an article by Khaled O'Meara, who used to be the correspondent for Al Jazeera in Palestine. There is his latest article that actually came out today. It's called The Nazi Rabbi. And apparently there is a rabbi there. See, Israel just killed two children. They were playing a couple of days ago. They were playing, actually not playing, they were looking for scrap metal around the wall that Israel had built. And see, a lot of kids in Gaza and the West Bank, they go around looking for scrap metal like iron or copper from like electrical, you know, like wiring and appliances and stuff, and they do take it and sell it at the market or downtown where these small shops who buy scrap metals are, and they basically sell it for pennies, and they take it to feed their families. So those two, they were killed by the Israeli army. They're like 10, 11, 12 years old kids. And we have a rabbi. Rabbi normally is someone who knows the religion. And his name is Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu. He was the chief rabbi of Israel. Ah, the chief rabbi, too. He urged the Israeli army and government to use the Nazi choice against Palestinians. I don't know what they mean by the Nazi choice. Of course, the Nazi choice might have a different meaning for the Jews than the Nazi themselves. But he reportedly pointed the Israeli government to carry out a series of carpet bombing of Palestinian population centers in Gaza, regardless of how many people die. Now, you have to understand, we have over 1.5 million people in Gaza. It's the most populated area, as most of Palestinian refugee camps are. They were built back in 1948 to host a couple of thousands, and now the couple of thousands grew up to be, for instance, in some of these refugee camps in Lebanon, like the Nahr el-Bared, there's like 40,000 people. That's a city. That's a large city to be on like 1 kilometer square. That's a lot of people in one place. But anyhow, I'll tell you what, after the break, when we come back, we will be going to Craig in Canada, but we will be right back.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, Documents, plural, .com.
Ah. Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Live from the Republic Broadcasting Network, and the number is 800-313-9443. And let me again beg everyone out there to please help the network. The network needs your help. And you see, sometimes when I hear people doing pledges, I think, oh, well, you know, there's a lot of people out there. I'm sure enough people going to pledge, or enough people going to send some contributions. But you know what? A lot of people think the way you do. And if you don't send, I can guarantee you that probably there's 1,000 others who did not. And we're not asking for much. And we're not asking for that so we can have salaries, etc. This is just to keep the network on the air. Because as you know, there are a lot of expenses on the network. You know, I like those breaks in between because I get to munch on my Lebanese food that I told you about earlier. This stuff is even good when it's cold. I guess it's made from the best stuff on earth. You know, before I go to Craig, that reminds me, one time while I was in college in Arlington, Texas, University of Texas, that was back like in 1982, and what happened is we had like a student international affair day or something, or international day, and everybody brings stuff from their country, and they set up a booth and show like the culture of that country. And, of course, as Palestinians, we got our food, you know, like the falafel and the hummus and the Palestinian dresses, those nice-looking dresses that you see Palestinian women wearing and stuff. And then there was an Israeli booth not far from us, and we went there. It's like, what? They have falafel on their booth. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Oh, we got very upset. It's like, look, it's bad enough you took our country. You're not going to take my falafel. And which is, to us, it meant they're not just took the land, but they're also taking the culture too. And we did. We demanded that they remove it, or it's going to be, we were just going to protest all over campus. And sure enough, after a long discussion with the dean, he came to the conclusion that that was not an Israeli food, even though Israelis eat it and they love it because of their Arab, the Arab culture that they took over in Palestine. But they ended up removing falafel from their booth. So that was, we kind of felt good about it, that at least we prevented them from lying to people and stealing a culture that was not theirs. It's bad enough that they stole a land that was not theirs. Let's go to Craig in Canada. Welcome to the program, Craig.
Yeah, I'm going to address what you were talking about quite recently with the collective punishment, which is how Israel is treating the Palestinians, and I believe that's the Nazi tactic that the rabbi is referring to. Because after that, there was that one ambassador in France who was assassinated by a young Jewish man. I can't remember his name. Very, very young guy. And it was after that that the Nazis started their collective punishment against all the Jews.
Okay, so that's the Nazi choice.
Yeah, I believe so. And your critiques aren't unfounded on the truth movement, but I'll give you a reason why each of those why it's evolved the way it has. The first is having a centralized leadership and having a kind of a go-to guy, and everybody looks up to those people, is exactly what happened to the social movements of the 1960s, which were all co-opted by COINTELPRO. Not the least of which was Martin Luther King and the Black Panthers and all those movements that, before they could affect any real change, were completely infiltrated and radicalized by the FBI. And to your other point about not mentioning Israel when these guys get FaceTime on television, well, it's kind of a savvy choice a lot of these guys make because as soon as you mention Israel, the general dumb public, as John Stadtmiller refers to the general American-Canadian, I hate to say populace, they're not sophisticated enough to realize that it's an international cabal that you know is kind of Israeli-centric, but is you know Israeli, British, American. They're not sophisticated to differentiate that from someone saying it's the Jews, and that's why a lot of these people try to stay away from Israel when they get their FaceTime.
You know, I agree with you on one thing, that is sometimes when we just say it's the Jews, we kind of shoot ourselves in the
foot. Absolutely, yeah. It's playing right into their hands.
And I've talked yeah. about this, and I've criticized people who just keep someone saying it's the Jews. Actually, they're not helping anything. Oh. On the contrary, they are hurting the cause. But as far as like having a centralized figure, that's not what I was talking about. What I was talking about is a group of, you know, you hear about all these conferences.
Yeah.
And really nothing, not much happens out of these, the outcome of conferences. Not much happens except, you know, go talk about the government and then go home. We need, you know, after 5 years, the smallest child in America know exactly what's going on now. And we don't need to continue going over and over and proving to the people of the world the evidence, the plenty of evidence that we have.
Yeah.
We need to stop that. We are saturated with that, and the more we do it, the more we dilute all these evidence. So we need to enter a different phase of doing something, not talking.
I agree. But it has to still be non-centralized. It really has to be individuals.
No,
I feel that people we're close to getting...
We need to be organized. You know, if we don't need to be centralized, we need to be organized.
I got what you're saying, yeah. I got what you're saying.
Yes, thank you, Craig. Appreciate it. We'll be right back.
Okay.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network, and I hope that you have wrote a little check and send it to the Republic Broadcasting Network at the address we had given you earlier. Let me give you that address again. Please write it down and send the station anything you can come up with. I don't care if it's the change that you have in your pocket, or a $5 check, a $10 check, $100, I don't care. I want to see how many $100 they will receive, and just tell them that you heard them you doing this because of the funny guy on current issues. The address is, again, please write it down, 1015 South Mays, M-A-Y-S, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And for those of you who have the internet access, you can just go on your internet and donate through PayPal or any other, so you can go on the RBN website and do whatever you need to do. Let's go to Mark in Idaho. Go ahead, Mark.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Well, I can certainly agree with you with regards to your Lebanese food.
To the falafel and stuff, I know that.
But my grandfather would disagree with you that the Palestinians came up with the falafel. He'd say that Lebanese came up with it.
I didn't say the Palestinians came up with the falafel, but you see, you have to understand the Lebanese and the Palestinians and the Syrians, they used to all be one people. They were not called as such. You know, they were from different, you know, the regions were known, as a matter of fact, as Great Syria or Greater Syria. Lebanon, Palestine, Jordan, and Syria, as we know it today, it all used to be called Syria. But, so it's the same people. Now, I don't know who came up with it, but I mean, look, if it's the Lebanese or Palestinians, that's the same people, but not the Israelis. Those people who came from Poland in Europe, they did not have falafel over there.
You can agree.
Take the land, but you're not going to take my falafel.
That's right, and I would agree with you on that, but I must disagree with the position that you and the former caller had with regards to talking about the Jews, quote unquote. And here's my position. I agree that you can't say that 100% of the Jews are behind what is going on. However, you see, the problem is that people fail to recognize what it means to be Jewish. Okay, being Jewish doesn't have anything to do with Moses or with the Ten Commandments or anything like that. This is why you can be an atheist today and you can still be considered a Jew. Being Jewish has to deal with this idea of separateness and that you are different from other people. And above all, it has to do with sticking with the tribe. Now, unfortunately today, and particularly, I mean, there couldn't be a better example today of this cohesiveness that exists among these people than with regards to what's going on today with this war. It is obvious to 6 billion people around the world that this war in Iraq is a Jewish war, it is a Zionist war, it is a war for Israel. And yet, where are the world's Jews speaking up against this thing? Other than a few pockets here and there, for the most part, they are silent, except when somebody comes forward and makes the obvious allegation, points out what is obvious, that this is a war for Israel, this is a war for Zionism. And then most of the world's Jews, if they aren't active in shouting these people down, then they sit by and do nothing, silently do nothing, as these people are shouted down. So this is the problem. The reason why the Jews get tarred with this image that they're the ones behind everything is because when the opportunity arises for them to stand up and do the right thing, generally they will not, especially when standing up and doing the right thing means standing against your tribe.
Okay. Mark, you have said it very eloquently, and I can tell you, you really did not say, you were not far, your position is not far from my position or the position of the guy who called before you. We are all saying the same thing, you just said it in a different way. What we are saying is, when you talk about the Jews, make sure you be specific enough to make people understand why you are using that word in your conversation. Because our people's brains in the United States are saturated by the mainstream media and saturated with the anti-Semitism thing, and saturated that any time someone talks something about Israel or about the Jews, then he's an anti-Semite. You have to take into consideration that the people out there don't know what you know. And when we talk to them, now we very much feel and we know exactly what you are talking about, Mark, when you bring up the Jewish cohesiveness in running the world. And I can tell you that I personally, I don't blame people who want to get as much power and as much money as they can. And why, you know, the question would be is why not other people trying to do what they have done? But going after power and going after money does not give the Jews, what you refer to, a license to basically go and kill people all over the world and oppress people all over the world. But you have to also understand that there are, and you said it before you started talking, you said not 100% of the Jews, and as you know, 67% of American Jews in the latest, that was a couple of months ago, the latest poll, 67% of them were against the war. Now, there were 87% of them for the war when we first were, before we went to war, during the few days leading to the war, and of course after the mainstream media was very much saturating the airwaves with the biggest lies that Saddam Hussein is going to come and kill us all, he has weapons of mass destruction, he's going to kill Israel, he's a threat to Israel. So you had like 87% of American Jews who actually were for the war. And a few months ago, 67% of Jews were against the war. And that in itself, as a matter of fact, Mark, is more than what the percentage of the Gentiles who were for the war and now they became against the war. The American Jews are more. I mean, that's a fact that I can't deny it, you cannot deny it, no one can deny it. Now, the problem with just when we talk about the Jews and we don't say who we are talking about, like for instance, when Ramsey called from Canada and he asked me about the Paul Wolfowitz and being replaced by another, and he said, what do you think of this guy who's going to head the Zillick, is that his name?
Yes.
And you know, he asked me, I said, well, it's just another Zionist Jew. Now, I was very specific when I said it's just another Zionist Jew. I am speaking about a particular person that I can identify and identify who he is and what he's going to do when he controls the money of the world. But the problem, and I hear a lot of people on airwaves, people who are connected with the truth movement, when they talk about the Jews, they just generalize, and even though you have to keep in mind, even if there is a case to generalize, the audience is not ready to receive a generalized opinion about the Jews. But a specific opinion about the Jews where you can show the audience what they have done, then you are creating slowly but surely, creating a better picture for people out there to see what these Jews are doing in these high places. But when you are not giving them enough information for them to see, and then you use words as the Jews are this and the Jews are that, but your audience does not know the truth. They don't know what these Jews are doing. You know, they're probably looking at their next door neighbor, Jewish doctor, and saying, oh, poor David, he can't be all that bad. That's my position, that I know what I know is not what people out there know. So when I talk to them, I can't generalize about the Jews. I have to be specific and saying, because number one, you know, the number of Jews in the world is not even close to their proportions in power and money. People know that from day one. But now we need to tell people what are they using that money and how they're using that money with, and let the people decide on the Jewish thing. But when we say the Jews, the Jews, the Jews, the people are beginning to have they become immune to what you are saying. And it doesn't matter what you say, even if it's valid, as soon as you use the word Jew, they're going to discredit everything else you said.
Well, okay. I think that you are 99% correct in most of what you say. The only distinction that I would make here is this. The reason why people today, especially in this country, are unwilling to go there, meaning they're unable to look at this as a Jewish issue, is because at this particular point in time, they are not feeling the sting of this thing. Now, when this war, if it moves into Iran, if it moves into Syria, and it really starts to get very serious in this country, the people are not going to want to hear any of this BS like, oh, I don't want to hear that it's not a Jewish thing. They're going to want to know who is responsible for doing this, okay? Now, the problem is that if we spend too much time bending over backwards and saying, oh, now, here's one Jew over here out of 10,000 who disagrees with what the other 10,000 are saying, okay, so let's just toss the whole Jewish thing out. If we go to too far a length in doing that, what we are going to do is that we are going to whittle down the amount of resolve that the American people are eventually going to develop. You know, they need to develop an antagonism to this thing for the purposes of their own survival, both as individuals and as a nation. They need to develop a fever, the way that a body develops a fever when it's been invaded by a hostile virus.
Yeah. But Mark, you cannot help them develop a fever against Jewish and against Jews, because, you know, you said, oh, there's a Jew here, then, you know, discredit all the 10,000 Jews. No, you're wrong when you say one Jew compared to 10,000 Jews. There are a lot of Jews in the world and a lot of Jews right here in America who don't agree with the state of Israel, who don't agree with what's going on in the war, and these are the people that we cannot. It's just like with Timothy McVeigh. He's Catholic. If we are to say that, oh, all Catholics are terrorists.
I understand.
Oh, the guy
that.
Was Catholic, so it's a Catholic. It's a Catholic conspiracy.
I understand.
Now
that,
we
but the,
know.
But the problem.
But they're not all Jewish, though. Look at the Bilderbergers, Mark.
Look
at the Bilderbergers. The Bilderbergers, they're not all Jewish. Look at the list. Half of them are Jews, I agree, but the other half is Gentiles.
Listen, there is nothing in Catholicism that preaches terrorism as part of its organized dogma. However, all of this stuff going on in the Middle East, whether it's taking place in Israel or Palestine or Lebanon or Iraq, or whether it is taking place domestically in this country with regards to our laws and our finances and our politics and everything else, all of this is taught as part of a dogmatic theme within Judaism. Okay, now that's the difference. You can't use Timothy McVeigh as an example of a Catholic who took some of the teachings of Catholicism.
But listen, Mark, most Jews in the world, those who are still practicing the religion, most of them are Reformed Jews. But most of the Jews, they're not even religious people. So I guarantee you that what you're talking about, a lot of Jews right here in the United States, they don't even know it. They don't even know what you're talking about.
Okay, well,
they're still considered Jews. They are still called themselves Jews because they belong to this. It's not a religious thing anymore. Judaism and Jewishness is not only a religious thing. It's more of a belonging to a group. Now, it could be your religion that you were born into it. Could be that because your mother was Jewish and you became a Jew. It could be you were born to people who have called themselves Jews for the last 500 years, but they're really not practicing the religion or don't even know anything about the Talmud that you are talking about. We can't use what was written 2,000 years ago and say that everybody in the world every Jew in the world is practicing that.
Okay, well, let's use this as an example then. Let's say that I was raised in a Catholic family, but that I don't practice Catholicism anymore. But let's say that I give my money to Catholic organizations, and let's say that these Catholic organizations funnel all of this money to the Vatican. Now, let's say that the Vatican today is
don't
engaged...
They?
is engaged in a war to reconquer the lands that it lost when Garibaldi waged his revolution. Okay. Even though I may not be a practicing Catholic, the fact is I'm lending support to this war because of the money that I give. And let's go a step further and let's say that whenever I hear anybody bashing the Catholic Church, even though I may not be a practicing Catholic for purposes of this comparison, let's say that whenever I hear somebody bashing the Catholic Church, I jump in and I get in their faces and I say, you can't say that, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so the fact that I may not be a practicing Catholic within this illustration means nothing. The fact of the matter is I am lending my support and my resources towards this thing, and unfortunately most of the Jews, at least in the United States, even though they may not be practicing and even though they may at least at face value say that they do not support the war or that they do not support Israel, the fact of the matter is that they circle their wagons and they spend the tribe and they support it with their money.
Appreciate the call, Mark. Thanks for your call. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back in the last segment of this show in a couple of seconds.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Let's go to Maggie in Texas. Go ahead, Maggie.
Hello. I am Jewish.
I'm a longtime fan and supporter of RBN and other similar channels, and I just want to say that I oppose the war, and I oppose the kind of Zionism we see now. I'm very much against what Israel is doing. There, I've said it on international radio, but also I want to make one more point. I want to disagree with Mark, who said that Judaism has nothing to do with Moses or this or that. And I would like to say that, particularly for people of my age, which I won't say exactly what it is, it has to do with the moral code also that one acquires in growing up on the Ten Commandments, which are very much the doing of Moses. In other words, there is an Old Testament sensibility, even if one is not a steady synagogue goer. And I would like to think that many, many of us share that, and I am not so exceptional in all that. I think that ignorance is responsible for a lot of the inaction.
I want to thank you for the call, Maggie, because that's one thing. I'm Palestinian and
yes, sir.
Palestinian American, and one thing that I will not do is lump all the Jews in one basket, because definitely there are people out there who don't agree with what the Zionists are doing, and for those people. Now, I disagree with people who just want, you know, when they talk about, you know, there's no question about the Jewish influence in our politics. That
exactly.
is, there's no question about it. And we don't need to hate all the Jews because of these people were able to grab a larger share than what they should in power and money. But, you know, not every Jew is a billionaire. I know that. I had some friends who were Jewish who were just like me and them. So, you know, are you a billionaire?
No, I'm more like you, sir. You're talking to one who is not.
See? Here you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my luck.
yeah, but, well, go ahead.
Go ahead. I want you to talk.
Well, you are one of the broadcasters, and there are quite a few of them who I think have really got it right. And I appreciate a program like yours. I learn all the time. I have learned so much from the Christian broadcasters. That's why
Thank
I subsidize it. Yes, you're
Thank
welcome.
Thank you, Maggie.
Sir.
And I appreciate your support to RBN. And please tell all your rich Jewish friends to
I have. I'm still working on my mother, who isn't rich, but I am trying so hard.
Yeah, tell her to send a little bit of money to RBN.
I'll send some for her.
Thank you, Maggie.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Bye
Thank
bye.
You for the call.
Sure.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we don't want to preach hate at all. You know, those people who preach hate they're not in my vocabulary. And I can tell you one thing, that Mark, even though a lot of people will agree with him and a lot of people disagree with him, Mark happens to be one of my greatest friends. And just what you saw a while ago between me and him, it goes on all the time. That does not mean that I don't like him, but one of these days I will convince him not just to say all the Jews. So I love you, brother. And ladies and gentlemen, we will see you next Saturday with another episode of Current Issues. Please do help RBN. We need all the help we can get. Good night, and go do the right thing.